We have lots of questions in Ask Catherine, so I'm just going to dive in. Hi, Catherine. Just listen to your discussion with Joseph Farrell. Thank you for the high intelligence you bring to these subjects. I'm frankly confused by the following elements in our national global story. The subscriber then goes into a whole series of questions, which I'm going to run through and try and handle relatively quickly. Is our country bankrupt? I keep coming across statements that the U.S. has been bankrupt at least since FDR. Depends on whether you mean bankrupt in a financial sense or bankrupt in a legal sense. We're obviously not bankrupt in a financial sense. We operated a deficit, but then we print more paper and everybody takes it in exchange for natural resources for cheap. It's sort of a racketeering model. But as long as we're still cash flowing, in one sense, we're not bankrupt. Now, the other thing is, if you look at the financials, the amount of money that's been disappearing is quite extraordinary. And of course, if you want to take that money we've been tithing and throw it on our balance sheet or the assets that are produced, I can assure you we're far from bankrupt. Now, as a legal matter, was the entity or the U.S. government heading into the Great Depression technically bankrupt? No way to tell. You can spend a lifetime going down the rabbit hole of what the legal structures of the country and its cash flows and budgets really are, and I assure you can spend a lifetime doing it. You'll never get anywhere. And part of the problem is we have many legal structures in this country which are clear, and we don't follow those laws and obey them anyway. So we are clearly operating outside the law. And so I'm not sure necessarily that spending a lifetime trying to figure out what the law is going to help you. But I don't know. I certainly don't know a way to get to the bottom of it on a time economic basis. Second question, is it true that all of our federal taxes go to the City of London and to the Vatican? The taxes that we take in, both from individuals and corporations, are significantly less than what we spend. So, you know, I'm not saying I couldn't prove or not prove that London or the Vatican have a gross pledge, but the reality is we're spending more money than we're taking in taxes. Is the U.S. a corporation or a constitutional republic? The country is a constitutional republic. Some or all of the cash flows, however, may be organized through or in corporate form. I've never been able to get to the bottom of it and finally decided it was not a good use of my time. Again, as I said, the money is run entirely outside of the law, and there's very little relationship between our real financial management and what the law says, and that's part of the challenge and why things seem Orwellian. The question continues, it is established that for 100 years, the American people unknowingly have surrendered the control of the currency, and thereby the value of our labor and creativity, as well as our peace of mind and dreams for the future, to a handful of families who own the Federal Reserve. This means we lost our sovereignty 100 years ago and have been harvested ever since. Why then do we discuss the market as if it were anything but a sham? The harvesting has gone on from long before that. I mean, if you go back through history, this is a harvesting that's been going on for thousands of years. If you just look at the history, I went back and studied the history of my family. My family's been moving around the planet trying to get away from the tapeworm for 500 years. So this is much older, but it is true that the creation of the Federal Reserve, plus the IRS, plus the drug wars and the beginning of drug laws and then drug wars at the beginning of the century made that harvesting much deeper and worse. I would not say that this has been unknowingly. Again and again, numerous people and leaders have come forward to warn people about this. You know, that we have never seen opposition rise up in sufficient strength at the same time to turn it around. But I would assure you, if you go back and you listen to my story about the red button problem, what you will understand is I think many Americans feel like they're a prisoner of the red button problem. And I would also say that the covert operations targeted at people who try and talk or do something about it are far greater. Reading Glenn Greenwald's book helps you to understand that issue. Is the U.S. under a state of emergency? This too seems to have begun under FDR and has never been ended by the administration since. Good question. I don't know about the one starting in the Depression, but often on the Constitution has been suspended, or emergency powers and national security law have been used, you know, to basically circumvent any law you and I could ever think or know about. So, yes, these stratagems are used, and then there are emergency powers that came out of 9/11 that, again, are still, to my knowledge, a problem. Next part of the question, it is accepted knowledge now that the ones who are responsible for the current state of humanity are determined to eliminate at least 2/3 of the human population. I don't think that is the case, that it is accepted knowledge. I think my opinion is I can't find an explanation for a combination of many things, some of which the questioner asks, like GMO foods, fluoride, chlorine, mercury, vaccines, the cancer industry. I can't come up with a hypothesis that explains all of those things without presuming that there is a desire to manage and lower the population from what it would be otherwise. But I don't think that's commonly known. What alternatives do we have? There are many alternatives. All we have to do is push the red button. We need a critical mass of people willing to do it. And that starts first and foremost with spiritual consciousness, because I think at the root, what we're dealing with first and foremost is spiritual warfare. And it's going to have to be won in the spiritual realm before you can bring that solution down to earth and win in the material world. Final part of the question is, $40 trillion has been stolen from us. The nation's infrastructure and quality of life are deteriorating. Our money is worthless. That's not true. It's not worthless. It's certainly debased, but it's not worthless. And our political, industrial, military, intelligence, financial complex is about to succeed in achieving its goal of full-spectrum dominance. I'm not so sure I believe that. I just, as I've said many times, I don't think you can manage an entire global economy and culture on force, not to say that these guys aren't going to try, while ruining the biosphere, dooming billions to starvation, and manipulating the world's citizens deeper into abyss of debt, delivery, and despair. I have to ask, when will those who have the stature, intelligence, and mental grasp of our plight, when will those who have the stature, intelligence, and mental grasp of our plight come together to tell the people what is happening to them and what they can do about it? Many, many people of stature, intelligence, and mental grasp of our plight have made tremendous efforts to tell people what is happening and what they can do about it. And for a variety of reasons, it has not yet caught on. And we can talk about that and have talked about that on the Soleri report. But each one of us needs to not wait for some great leader. We need to act now. There's something I always say when I'm being a tough guy, and I'm going to say it now. If I got on the internet and I sent an email to, two friends, and I said, I explained a paragraph how every man could have as many erections as he wanted and every woman could have as many orgasms as she wanted. And I said, under no circumstances, promise me you won't tell anybody this. I always ask people, how long would it be until everybody in the English-speaking world had a copy? So what I'm telling you is if people want information, it will go. Okay? And that's what you need to understand. There have been many, many people of great stature, intelligence, and mental grasp who have warned about the plight and suggested things we can do. And I think the question is, when is a critical mass of people in terms of their consciousness and in terms of their actions going to do them? And when enough are clear enough and ready to act enough, something will happen. While we're looking in the attic of the Secret Empire, don't forget to check out the basement of the Secret Empire. Richard Souter makes mention, they give a link to a video of the 59 billion missing from HUD. You remember that, Catherine? Yes, good point. There's a great deal of money that has gone into underground bases and facilities. And so I'm sure some of the missing money has gone underground, not just into space. Hi, Catherine. Have you seen the new Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence? It's a perfect fit for Mr. Kurzweil's work. Mr. Borg himself, in an interview televised on the Science Channel, Mr. Kurzweil said the technology to merge human and machine is here. The only reason it has not been implemented is we can't be sure who will be in charge yet. To make a long story short, a possible mechanism for this merger is being administered, delivered in chemtrails. At least that's what Vincent Freeman is speculating. Freeman is a molecular biologist and artificial intelligence scientist who's worked on classified programs, blah, blah, blah. Would you, and then they invite me to interview Mr. Freeman. I'll check out the videos. I just put two videos last week up on chemtrails and the issues of some of the sort of bioengineered nanoparticles that are in chemtrails. It's some of the more gruesome information that we have to deal with. And we did a great interview with Dr. Gwen Scott on action steps you can take to protect yourself from chemtrails. But I think, you know, some of that information describes the kind of environmental pollution we're dealing with, and the importance really of detoxing and doing everything you can to build your immune system and stay detoxed. And there's some great Soleri reports on doing that with Dr. Laura Thompson that I would really encourage you to listen to, as well as that one with Dr. Scott. Dear Catherine, this is a solid article written by a medical doctor telling us how schools get more money for every additional child who is diagnosed with ADHD. Yes, that's true. There's tremendous financial incentives in the school system for getting people on getting children on Ritalin. Here's a well-written article discussing some of the dire ramifications facing us on Agenda 21, and then an interview from Paul Craig Roberts on how expanding the war effort is important for increasing the political contributions to the politicians in Washington. That's true. One of the things that is unbelievably important is we need to create financial incentives, particularly for politicians, where they can make more money from peace than from war. Dear Catherine, global warming and climate change are subjects that have constantly been in the media in recent years, but whenever a scientist decides to question the science behind this, he or she usually cannot get on television to talk about it. With this in mind, and having heard words like carbon exchange, carbon-based currency, and carbon unit allotments for all of us as individuals being proposed, how much do you think that Mr. Global is really someone who's behind global warming and climate change? I think a lot, although I think climate change, we have problems in terms of space weather, our rotation around the sun, and also we are doing extraordinary environmental damage in terms of how we live. So I think it's climate change is a combination of things. I think a lot of the proponents of climate change, the way it's being done, is to try and sort of build political support for carbon taxes and greater political control using these topics as sort of an excuse. If you look at the Soleri model, what I had come up with in the 90s was a vision of people healing the environment through incentives to optimize equity. The carbon tax is basically the negative way to get there. You generate global revenues by controlling, and sort of driving expenses down through control. It tries to get at the same, you know, you try to get to the same place, but one is sort of the nice way to get there and the wealth-building way to get there, and the other is sort of the depopulation way to get there. Quote from Dolan interview, if you study the train tracks of totalitarianism and how they were built out using the drug business, this is a quote from me in my interview with Dolan, and the war on drugs neighborhood by neighborhood, what you see in here when you go back and you study the people who are involved in doing it is you get some very fine and good, decent people who said we had no choice, we had to have a secret source of funding. The question was, based on what you said in the recent interview with Richard Dolan, does this mean that the Bush, Clinton, Iran, Contra, drug smuggling, MENA, Arkansas stuff was all in our best interest, and does that now make the Clintons and Bushes some of those good people? Ugh. I thank you for that question. I was referring to the people who made the initial decisions in the late 40s and early 50s. So the people who really went along with introducing it and building the infrastructure. So no, I wasn't referring to that gang whatsoever. Another question regarding the idea of financing derivatives backed by space technology and future space mining. Are these said derivatives off the books? Yes, I believe so. If so, wouldn't it also, if they exist, if so, wouldn't it also require that corresponding revenues and incomes and employment in this private space technologies be hidden? The companies themselves, for that matter. Some of it is. Remember, a lot of the money that's gone to fund this stuff has gone in sort of, you know, in secret ways. So it's covert cash flows, and it's tricky how they put things on the book. Remember, you had an executive order during the George W. Bush administration that basically gave the National Security Council the power to give waivers that allowed companies on their SECs reporting to not report honestly. So, you know, so in fact, you know, very good control point. What that meant was companies could take on enormous amounts of assets, built wildly valuable assets, you know, whether underground and in space, and not report them and still be within in compliance with SEC financial disclosure law. Or maybe they do include them, you know, who knows. The question continues, maybe it is a net expense to this point or some of those revenues showing up in the stock price of these companies, circulation of dollars much greater than we know. I do think that we're seeing these assets show up in companies that are traded in the stock market, and we're seeing values created in the stock market from the technology that's being engineered out of the black budget. Question continues, maybe it's not even dollars, but a new space currency to replace the dollar, convertible to dollars. In the future, as Dr. Farrell would say, high octane, out on the limb speculation. Here's the basic premise, and they're referring to something that Joseph and I were talking about in our last interview. What we've watched for many years as the currency in this country is debased, we print dollars, then we expand the territory where the dollars can be floated. So as we go into Iraq, as we go into Afghanistan, when we went into Russia in the 90s, huge dollar float added. And so what you're literally seeing and what Dr. Farrell was talking about was the possibility that as we go into space, acquire more assets and potential territory, it's just a bigger base to float more dollars over. And I think, you know, now he was talking about the use of collateral to float, you know, float debt and other kinds of financial instruments. Again, high octane speculation, but very interesting to think about. Next question. I'm struggling to get a sense of who are these people. What do you think of G. Edward Griffin's suggestion? He suggested a multi-generational project started by Rusk and the Fabian Society, leading to Rhodes and Quigley, and finally the CFR, who he describes as a semi-secret outer ring of a very secret society. Here's Edwin Griffin's paper, Secret Organizations and Hidden Agendas, The Future is Calling. Does this view seem correct? You know, in a partial sense, if you haven't listened to, please listen to the two-part series, part one that I did on the breakaway civilization. The way I described it was I said, in the first part, this is part one, I will brief you on who is running things and what their concerns are. We will look top-down from the global or G7 level, as well as from the viewpoint of the managers of large intergenerational pools of capital, such as pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, and pools of family and private syndicate wealth. We will also look bottom-up from the viewpoint of an individual or head of household, the head of a small business or small-town mayor. One of the things I would underscore is America is just 3,100 counties, and traditionally, if you looked at each county, it was the Masonic networks plus the Vatican networks, the churches, and the intelligence agencies in combination that really ran the system, and the, you know, and obviously the bankers were the Masons tended to be the bankers and the lawyers, and then share control of City Hall with the Vatican. And what you're seeing with the NSA surveillance system and why it's so important to understand how it works is it gives the intelligence agencies an upper hand in relation to the local Masons and the bricks and mortar churches. And that's part of what you're seeing is the local guys getting rolled in a whole variety of ways. Now, in the 60s, the Masons somewhat shifted into the university system. And with the squeeze coming in higher education, it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt. So it's a very, if you haven't read John Rappaport's book, The Secret of Secret Societies, that's also very helpful to understanding how incredibly over-networked and over-populated this control system is. It's quite intense, and they got every penny networked. It's quite unbelievable. So I would love to know with whom we are dealing. Well, this is the big question. The big question at the top, you know, what in the world is going on? What's really driving this? And that's the real question, because the power is coming top down, and it almost makes you wonder if the moon is a Death Star, because the whole planet and the financial system is clearly harvesting the whole planet. And so the question is, where in the world is this tithe going, and who's really in control? And the answer is, I don't know. That's one of the reasons I wanted to be part of the Secret Space Conference, because I think, you know, we need to illuminate that issue to illuminate the question of governance.